What's up, Carter?
How are you doing?
I didn't, you know, this is our first day with this new setup. I didn't realize we were going to be so...
I know. I feel like I'm... Am I going to look bad on the camera?
No, I think you're going to look great on the camera. Yeah. I love the sweater you've got
here
today.
It's good I wore pants, don't you think?
I think it's always... I mean, I love your new jeans.
Because we've had close calls.
Do you want to... Listen, anything to get us the views.
You know, whatever
just
it takes.
Just give them a peek. Just a little peek. Just a peek.
Thank you for saying this. I bought this sweater off of a man on Bury Avenue in
Street, I don't know. What would you say is like the percentage of clothing you have that is from street sales? Because I would
60.
Say, yeah, right?
He was a man and he was a male influencer, which is kind of a weird look for him. Sorry. And
like that he's a guy who is an influencer or he's influencing in the male space.
His name was like Living Styled. And then,
he was a fashion influencer.
Yes. He was yes, but like kind of maybe fake because I like looked, you know, and I was like, these numbers don't add up. I was like, I used to be in the industry, influencer marketing, and this doesn't add up.
Yeah.
But he was with his wife and I don't know if she was making him, but he was like selling a whole rack of his clothes. I bought this from him and I bought that red Mr. Porter jacket. Have you seen this?
Yes.
And I bought I bought like four things from him.
You have a very eco-friendly shopping.
That's why I do this.
And I know that.
That's why I do this.
There's one thing I tell people about you is that you're super eco-friendly.
Thank you. As I hand out water bottles to everyone. Every new person that comes in gets a water bottle.
If you're taking them from somewhere that was already going to give them out.
Totally.
And we won't say where.
We have to go.
I'm not saying where. I'm not saying where.
People can read between. I don't go to that many places.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else is going on. You got these new pants, too. You're doing a wide leg pants now.
This is loose. I have ones that are baggy, but I'm probably going to return them.
Other than those?
Yeah, these are just loose.
Oh,
there's loose, and then there's baggy. No. Don't apologize. Okay, for the boys at home, I woke up one day, and I was like, I can't wear skinny jeans anymore. Well, actually, a man told me, he's like, I noticed that your vibe is like skinny jeans, and I was like, I don't like that. And that's not good.
You know, you were kind of late. No, I don't mean to say you were late on this, no, but there has been a while where years ago, it was like the millennial Gen Z like divide. And maybe that was happening more in women's clothes. And so it kind of missed your purview, but.
It wasn't in my purview. I don't know what I was focused on at the time, but I was like, I don't know. I just have really nice legs. Is that such a crime?
It's not such a crime. You know, when I first met you, we were at an open mic. And you said you were about to turn, you had just turned 27 or you were about to turn 27. I can't remember.
About to for sure.
I think yes. I think
before.
You were. Because it was, I mean, I one of your first jokes you had.
2 months, but I was like, when everyone's younger, like, so they don't need to know at home.
Well, when you, one of the first jokes you did that made me laugh so hard was when you said, I'm about to turn 27, and that always is funny.
If you're at home, I can't do that one anymore, although I think I might be able to bring it. Do you think I could?
You could definitely do it. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Seven works. There's something at seven that just
seven
works.
Seven is funny. Yeah, anyway, you were wearing shorts, and you were saying, when I turn 27, I'm never wearing shorts again.
Here's
and that didn't last at all.
Were you kind of like, what's the punchline? Like, <"What's>
the no, at that time I was like, this is a height of
You're
comedy.
Like, that is hilarious.
That's hilarious.
At this queer open mic.
At this queer open mic. But no, I it was just making me laugh because now knowing you for several years, it's like you always wear shorts.
I know.
Wait, shout out to hopefully future guest of the pod and friend of the pod, Matteo Lane, just had a special come out. And he's wearing shorts in it.
I know.
Which I think is so awesome because like that's like number one comedy rule is like don't wear shorts on stage.
I know people always say don't wear shorts, but I also think like the people that say don't wear shorts also don't think we should be able to get married. And like like there's no way they're pro marriage. So like
it's also like nobody needs to see a straight man's calves.
It's no, for sure. And you it's know? Also like whatever that man is trying to convey with his comedy is like that's not what I'm trying to do. Like I'm being cute up there. Like it's part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like can you command respect with shorts? I'm gonna really try. I think that's probably why they say that. It's a respect thing.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think anybody needs to see a straight man's legs.
And
generally.
Yeah. But when I'm done all these calf raises, I'll be up there in shorts.
Good. I love that.
So my boys club is it can't be my depressive cycle, is it? So the boys at home, our depressive cycles have linked and we're now depressed at the same time, which I think is.
Which is good for the podcast or bad for the podcast? I guess we'll find out.
I think it would be annoying if you were really depressed and I was like, actually though, I think when I have a friend that's really depressed and it gives me like purpose and like, oh, I'm here to cheer them up. And now I kind of know why I'm here, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, I don't think I don't know if I'm depressed today. I think I'm just tired.
I'm sorry for putting that on you.
It's hard to,
for labeling.
Maybe I'm tired.
I woke up at
like
3 a.m. and then went to Pilates, but not because I wanted to. I was just
at
like,
3 a.m.
Yeah, I was like alone in my apartment. I was like, I can't be.
What
here.
Time did you go?
Well, no, I went at like 6.
Oh,
but I was like, I have to go.
Yeah,
but I would never go at that time. It's not like.
What time did you go to bed?
I got 3 hours and 27 minutes of sleep.
Couldn't be me. Oh yeah, shout out to Whoop.
And it said you are not recovered.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it.
But it's dumb. I just moved my new bed in there, and then I was like, now I'm awake. I don't know. And then it's always like, oh, you're not sleeping because you're depressed. I'm like, I'm not sleeping because I eat ice cream as I go to sleep. I'm literally like, and it's like, obviously not sleeping.
Yeah, that sugar's going to get you.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. You know there's not sugar in that. I don't know what is in that, but it's going to give you cancer.
Wait, did you know there's a Nick Swedish ice cream truck now?
Where?
I don't know. Maddie told me she saw it.
No, but that's funny. I like that everyone associates me with Nick Swedish ice cream.
Well, you're the only person I know who eats it.
That's great that they're doing this activation.
Yes, good for them.
I'm the only person I know that eats it too.
Well, you're keeping them in business, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you ever do Halo Top?
You know, yeah. I was an early adapter.
Yeah, those are pretty nasty.
I did that when I was 20. Sorry, eating disorder coded. I did that when I was 20 and I was here for the summer. And it's crazy because like by nighttime I was just like, all over the place, and then in the daytime I was just like eating Halo Top, and I would go and I would get it from the Fairway Market on 27th and 6th Avenue next to the tanning salon that shut down, and then up that street was the Buffalo Exchange where I got $50 Prada loafers that someone who worked at Saks told me were real.
Wow, it's pretty good for Buffalo Exchange.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's some like on the street sale kind of.
I paid $120 for Ferragamos that make my feet hurt. Not worth it. Don't do it. Just size and half too small.
Thank you for that confession on the podcast. Okay, my boys club for this week is videos of people who watch videos of people playing video games.
Oh.
Are you familiar with this?
No. Okay, is this Twitch?
Well, there's Twitch, which is like live streaming video game playing, so you're like watching somebody play, but then there's also videos where you're just like watching the screen and there's like no talking.
Okay.
So I have started playing video games more frequently than I used to. I think I'm having this sort of late in life reclaiming of boy adolescence kind of thing happening that I think a lot of trans people go through when they whatever. But I've gotten into video games because they're such a good way to like just turn your brain off and like not think about anything other than defeating a dragon or whatever the fuck. So I've been playing this game and I've started watching videos on it that are like explainer videos because it's a complicated game and there's like a lot of different things you can do. So I've been watching these videos and there's this one British guy that I love listening to because he has a great voice. But like anytime it's like an American dude, I'm like, shut the fuck up. I don't want
to
hear.
And this is how you learn how to play the game?
Kind of. Like there's like sometimes there's like explainer videos for things that are like confusing or like. If you don't know how to do it or something, so I've like looked those up. But.
Well, I've wondered this before, like when you watch play Spider-Man, and it's like, how did you understand? Even like, I wouldn't even know where to begin in such. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's well, so many. I didn't know how to begin, so I just died a lot at first, and then you just kind of figure it out. Oh, but then also, beautiful. Thank God for YouTube and stuff because you can figure this out. But anyway, there's a whole ecosystem of people who like just watch. Yeah, they'll like follow Twitch streamers and like watch their stuff, and yeah, it's such an interesting. I don't know. Though that plus OnlyFans makes me really interested for like what the future of like distribution's gonna be for like our industry as well and like social media. I don't know, it's just like they feel like they've evolved. This is so heady and sorry if this is boring to anybody that's like not in like entertainment or anything, but like I feel like they like obviously sex work has always been considered like taboo, and then also like I feel like video games feel like I don't know, people like kind of underestimate them or like don't really care whatever, like mainstream wise they don't have their like an Emmys or anything like that, right? They're kind of a discarded media in certain ways. So they've had to find other ways to, like, get their stuff out there or, like, monetize that life and that way of living. So they created Twitch for this purpose, right? And so it feels like they made something so independent of, like, you know, traditional Hollywood stuff other than, like, adapting movies from video games, which is kind of not even involved with them. So, like, I'd be interested to see if, like, with the way that, like, TV and movie buying is just, like, plummeted to the tank, like, and like the rise of like new media with like social media and stuff, if there will be like some version of that for us.
We're just watching. It feels like we just want to watch people do things.
I know, which is so strange.
Like, gestalt chair therapy, bring it back. I mean, because I was going to be like, oh, it's crazy, you can just like watch people do therapy, like that's what it's going to be, but that we have that show Couples Therapy.
True.
To watch Couples Therapy single is like to watch Cribs when you're poor. Can you tell I wrote that? I wrote that for this.
And you're like, well, that's so cool bits for the you podcast
of this relationship together.
Yeah.
Brag.
Wait, speaking of not game shows, reality shows, Queer Ultimatum is coming back for a second season.
It is coming back. It has been 2 years.
In Miami.
They still are not putting gay guys on, and I think that that's correct.
I saw, shout out Bridget Foley, friend of the pod, lesbian comic, who was like, the woman with the top knot is already pissing me off. No. It was like this butch lady with the top knot.
There's six couples
I'm excited.
Now.
It's going to be drama.
That's more than we had last time. And then also, last thing I'll say is that if you are watching Survivor, I don't want any of them to win. I know that we've never talked about, have we ever talked about Survivor on this podcast?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I think I've been like quietly watching, but not talking. Oh, wait, we have talked about it.
Yeah, well, it's not this season specifically, but I would say we bring up Survivor maybe once an episode.
But I like got like really into this season, but I like hate all of them. I think it's just awful. But if Camilla wins, I'm calling a Camilla win, no one else is, in the same way I was calling a Mikey Madison win, and then she did win. So like the way that I'm calling women underdogs this year, like if Camilla wins, then I'm playing the lottery.
Yeah. I saw a dumb headline about Mikey Madison the other day. It was like movie stars don't even want to be movie stars. She turned down like... I don't even know what it was, like some Marvel, like big boxing. It's like, yeah, that's not, she just won an Oscar for a fucking like indie film.
I don't think that's her vibe.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's like, why would she do Star Wars?
Twitter knows that it's like, it feeds me Mikey Madison things. It feeds me like gay guy things, Mikey Madison things, Taylor Swift things.
Of course.
These are actually all just gay guy things.
Yeah.
And
When is Taylor going to come back with another album?
Well, potentially the AMAs. There's this theory that...
Wow.
The internet is so great. There's this theory that she's, like, releasing something at the AMAs, but I think she shouldn't do that because it's, like, don't announce things at an award show because, like, it's kind of, like, your step... Like, these other artists, it took them a really long time to write this album, whatever they have. Like, relax.
Whoever is running all, like, the Taylor Stan accounts, like, I've said this before, but I think... is better than whoever's doing like QAnon in terms of like the
I know they need to redirect their energies.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we bring our guest in?
Yes.
Boys, we have an incredible guest today. A great friend of the pod, a hilarious comedian. You can see her in New York City at New York Comedy Club or the Comedy Cellar. You can see her on tour. She has a podcast called Into the Mud that I was just on a couple weeks ago. That was so much fun. We're so glad she's here. Boys, please welcome Alex Kumin.
So happy to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Oh my God. Wait, okay, before we even jump in, I have two questions. What is the ice cream that you eat?
Nick's Swedish ice cream.
I've not heard of this.
Okay.
What is it?
It's kind of like eating disorder coded because there's just like nothing in it. But it's really good, I swear to God.
What is it?
It's this like, they have amazing flavors, like cheesecake brownie is one of my favorite ones. Also like...
Is it like no dairy, no sugar?
It's no sugar. It probably does have dairy. And then you look at the ingredients and it's just like, oh, this is like a lot of that aspartame thing in it.
Okay.
But I'm like pro that.
Okay.
But I have this new app that tells me how long it's been. Like, I'm trying to like quit things that are bad for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like going to put that in the app and be like.
Does it like destroy your stomach though?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The answer is yes.
Like just like with Halo Top. Are you just absolutely shitting your pants nonstop?
No, here's the thing. Like for years, like if there were actually something wrong with me, I'd be like, oh, I didn't know because I'm always like that. Like
you are on a constant. You're just I'm the same. When people are like, "Doesn't that make you tired?" I'm like, I've never not been tired a day, a second in my life. Yeah. I've never not been exhausted and could sleep for 4 hours.
I know. I think that you're one detox away from being like someone like, "Oh, I did this and it changed. I never realized that I was living like this for 20 years." Yeah.
What do I need to detox from? New York. I don't know. The life that I live. Comedy. Yeah. That would be it. Like I cut out comedy and I'm like, I've found happiness again.
This is like I've been sober from 9 years for 9 years from alcohol, but the app only tells me how long it's been since I've been on Grindr, like that, because it's kind of sad. Oh,
how many days has it been?
Two.
You're trying to quit Grindr?
Yeah, I think.
And
that
all
should.
The other ones, all the apps, or just Grindr?
Just Grindr.
Are you replacing it with Sniffies?
I'm trying to go the other direction.
Okay. We're going. Okay. Sniffies is on the full opposite.
This sounds like
you're
in like conversion therapy or
something. Sniffies would be such a relapse.
It would be the most relapse of relapses.
It'd be like I quit alcohol, I picked up the needle.
Heroin.
So is
heroin.
Is Sniffies like...
I'm so excited for this.
Even more sex first?
So Sniffies is... You can't even have a... First of all, it's only a website.
Not even an app. Not even an app.
Shut the fuck
up. So you know the guy.
Just a URL.
Yes. And there's...
Sniffies in my link tree.
There's no face. You can't
no
do face.
It's like, just mostly... It's bum. Just mostly that.
Which, this is homophobic, but I think it's okay. It's like when you were in high school and they were like, oh, have you guys been on a familywatchdog.com? Because it's a map.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sniffies is also a map.
Oh, so
it's a whole... Yeah, no, it just geolocates.
And I'm not saying those guys are predators, but some of them are. Some for sure.
Oh, my God. Wow. So it's like... It's... like similar to Grindr in that it's location based.
Yes.
And that like face pics are optional.
Yes. I mean, Grindr's more like you're gonna see it. You can't lead with a nude on Grindr. You can lead with
so much nudity on Sniffy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy that there was like, we need more sex forward than Grindr.
It's so amazingly sex forward coming from the straight perspective too. Because my friend Drew, my podcast host,
yeah,
was showing me some of the stuff on Sniffies, and I was like, I'm blown away at how like good gay people are and queer people are at sex.
Yeah.
Because of the specificity and because of like knowing who you are and what you want and then having to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like next level. Like straight people will be like barely able to just like say the word penis.
Oh, totally. Or vagina. Yeah,
totally. And like, then on Sniffies, it's just like, can someone throat fuck me?
No, for sure. Yeah,
like, sorry, am I allowed to?
Oh, you absolutely can.
Absolutely. You have throat fuck on here. You do.
We have okay, like, we have, okay.
Because when you're gay, it's always like, what are you into? And then there's like all these, and you almost want to be like, can you give exam? Can you send a list and yes. I'll check? You should be able to check off on the list.
Oh my yes. God, yeah. They should send like a survey.
Yes.
And survey you can do, says? Like,
yes. Ding, 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 throat fuck.
My sense of straight people is like in general, I could be wrong. I haven't been in a lot of straight bedrooms. Is that it's more just like, man, woman,
P&B sex.
Yeah.
Dan Savage has this great, like, has said this about sex before, where he's like, with heterosexual couples, the default is penis and vagina sex, and that's what sex is. Versus with like gay couples or like queer couples, there's so many other things that have to be on the table, that have to be spoken about, because it's not necessarily one type of like agreed upon sex.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
wait, Dan Savage, the
Savage Love.
For a second, I thought you meant the leader of GLAAD. Who's that Dan, or the head of, isn't there some, oh, that man.
Wait, yeah. Who's that?
Dan Savage.
Is right? that a comedian?
No.
He's like
Dan
the
Savage is like
a
writer.
Thing.
He's a writer and he's like totally, he's queer and
this is who
has
I was imagining.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Wait, yeah. No, I
he's not the head of GLAAD?
He might.
He might be.
In my head, he's the head of GLAAD.
Well, he could be.
He very well leader. Could be involved.
He could
be.
There's also like Ben Savage of Boy Meets World fame, but sometimes I would confuse the two.
Different Savage.
Different Savage.
Ben Savage.
But equally Savage.
Yes.
Equally. He ran for office.
Did
I don't
he?
Remember what party.
Like, yeah, so, yeah, let's, yeah.
Yes, and he had a fallout with all the other Boy Meets World cast members they don't talk to anymore. I'm so aligned.
I wonder
then I think
what
he's probably
party.
A Republican.
If I had to guess.
I had to get a wild guess on what would excommunicate you from a large
from
group of people.
Disney Channel folks.
Yeah. Wait, I was going to say, about like, sex like that. I know, that was something that was really stressful when I first came out. Was like, oh, fuck, we have to like actually talk about this. That's terrible. But obviously, like, you know, once you move past that first uncomfortable feeling, it is actually such a blessing to have to talk about things like that, because you actually do start to understand what you like and like have a much healthier, safer sexual relationship with somebody, because you have to be so forward about that. And I do think that is something that like queer people can teach straight people in, like, because it's just so, like, I think so many straight people just do the default. And clearly we're at this moment where like women's sexual empowerment is becoming more of a conversation, and like what sex is becoming more of a conversation for straight people. So I feel like they're just on the precipice of that. But it's like, still, when you talk to straight people, it's like, oh yeah, no, we just do it. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's like, it's just truly the default. It's just like, don't talk about it until it happens. And then like, did that feel good? Who knows? Like, was that good for you?
Yeah,
like, there's not
literally.
Even a follow-up. There's no
Did you come? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it's like,
That was awesome.
And it's such a different experience when you feel comfortable enough with the person to be like, oh, like, let's talk. Or like, let's talk about it beforehand.
Yeah.
Rather than like, let's fumble our way through it and then be like, no, I don't like that. That hurt. Or like, dude, this way. But you also just have to know yourself too, which I think for a lot of women too, it's like, it's just such a hidden, I think just in general, we're taught to just like hide our bodies.
Yes. And also not like, I remember as like a kid, teenager, when I was first starting to understand that I could be a sexual person or whatever. I was so embarrassed by that fact. And
totally.
It was like, I would never tell anybody if I was like going to masturbate any of that. You know, it was so shameful to me, versus like many of the, you know, people that are raised men, like, it's like, oh yeah, I jack off. Like, even that is like such a less of a taboo.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Have you watched Queer Ultimatum?
Okay, no, that was gonna be my third question, because my second question was, I need to clarify, when you say you're watching people play video games, are you watching tutorials or are you watching people just play video games?
No, so I'm watching tutorials so then I can know how to do something.
Okay, I will excuse that. If it was the second, I would have left.
No, because that was why I brought
up
as a boys club.
I have a new joke about this right now that I'm like, if I had a kid that was doing that, I would bully them. I absolutely cannot. Where are we?
That.
What are we doing?
No, so that's why I brought it up as a boys club, because I've started watching these like tutorials for this game that I play a lot. I have been pushed some of these other videos, which is like people playing the game, and I don't really get it. Like, I don't really get what's exciting about that. Like, I would I don't know, especially for a game like I've already played. It's like, this isn't new to me.
It's hugely popular.
It's so popular, it's though.
Like millions and millions. Like these kids, like they're making so much money just playing and recording themselves and then people watch. And it's like
nuts.
It truly scares me. I'm like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, what is the future of anything? And my cousin is like always, he's been a big like video game guy forever. And I remember a couple times ago when I saw him, I was asking him if he'd ever like do like Twitch streaming. I was like, oh, is that like a... Like, could you do that as, like, side revenue or anything? And he was like, maybe, but, like, you got to do, like, 18 hours a day or something crazy. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Like, it's nuts how long these people stream for. Crazy.
I was going to be like, you kids need to fucking jerk off, but...
yes.
There was someone who jerks
18
off.
18 hours a day.
Yes.
Minimum.
Like normal people.
Minimum.
The rug burn. There was someone who jerks off online that commented on our video and was rude to me and next to you.
Well...
So, Clyde Austin, if you're listening to this, I was a huge fan of you, and Nico doesn't know who you are. And... That's not right. And
yeah, when are gay guys going to support other gay guys?
We had this one video where we were all misgendered in every possible way.
Were we?
I was, for sure.
Okay.
And then now he thought you were a gay guy. And
oh,
it's
that's
like,
right,
that's
yeah.
rude. That's somehow that's not nice.
I know, I'm being slandered.
He said, yeah. I like when you with a gay guy that you can't, that he's like, doesn't seem too masculine or feminine, like the third guy in this video, enter Nico. And then not the first or the second, which is me.
Well,
so prepare to get dragged internet. On the internet.
Yeah. I can't wait. Yes. I'll be the third gay guy.
Yes,
today.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're straight.
Unfortunately,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I think that's
I'm
cool.
Sorry.
No, I love straight women.
Okay, love that.
Not in like a tokenizing way.
No, no.
I feel
not.
Safe with straight women. This brings me up. Oh my God, I need to say this. I've said this to you already.
Yes.
Do you know this? That you were the first person who was ever nice to me in.
We've actually talked about this.
Honestly,
say
the
it
whole
again
world.
Because it needs to be on camera.
Honestly, my whole life and also comedy in Chicago, you were so kind to me. You put me up early to Cole's open mic, which back when mics meant something, they meant something, whatever. Yeah. And like I used to prepare 4 minutes for this. And now you're not even preparing anything for whatever. And sorry, we talk about this all the time that people don't know how to write jokes anymore. And because the open mics don't make them. And you put me up early and it was so important to me. And I was like, oh my God, this is so nice. And you were like one of the only women host of an open mic that I had been around, and it was it was so important to me.
That makes me so happy,
like for real. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
love that.
How long were you in Chicago for?
8 years.
Oh cool.
Yeah, nice. I was there for a stretch.
Yeah,
yeah.
All pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, I wasn't doing comedy for the whole time. I was working at a rape crisis center. Classic.
Similar.
Classic, easy pivot into literally that could not be the more opposite
yeah.
of fields. But yeah, I was in Chicago 8 years. Yeah.
Cool. Where'd you live?
Bucktown, Logan Square, Ukrainian Village.
You showed up there cool.
I showed up there cool.
You know where I lived. I lived in
Boystown?
Boystown, I'm going to guess.
Years?
For 5 years?
I'm,
that would make sense, though.
Five, six different apartments
if
in 5 years.
If you guys
years.
Can guess, Boystown is the gay area.
But when I visited, I went to Bucktown because I was like, oh, that's probably Boystown. But they realized Boystown was weird to call it that. So they changed it to Bucktown, but it was not.
Mm.
Which is, it's still called Boystown. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
They tried to rename it for a second. North Halsted. It never stuck.
That doesn't really roll off the tongue as well as Boys Town does.
Yeah. The boys said no.
No, yeah. The boys said, we are boys, and this is our town.
We like people to know what they're coming here for. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's boys.
And the boys are back in town.
Yeah.
And they never left, actually.
It's
they
theirs.
Actually never left.
It is their town. Diaz Tequila, Sidetracks. I think I went to all the gay bars. These are Boys Town. Boys Town spots.
Gotcha.
When I was leaving, I was like, I either need to move to New York or to the West Side.
Okay.
Which somehow felt like somewhere
across very town. Yeah, very. When did you come here?
Okay, December of 2020.
Great time for that.
Yeah.
Great time
I
was for like, that.
Real estate prices were good. At the time.
Did you get a sick deal?
Oh yeah, I got this.
$4. Did you get this place?
So I lived on the upper. When I moved here, I said I would only live in Manhattan. I said where anywhere in Manhattan, I won't live anywhere else. And then I lived with this guy who was a dancer, and we lived in an apartment, 2 bedroom, 2 bath. But it was really. Did you ever see that apartment?
Mm-mm.
2 bedroom, 2 bath, really small, like 2,500 total on the Upper East Side.
Mm. Upper East.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Own bathroom. My bed touched 3 of the 4 walls. And there was
that's
a Peloton
tough.
In there.
That's hard.
And a Peloton.
Yeah.
That's hard.
When did you move here?
3 years ago.
And you don't say where you live.
I won't.
Clyde Austin.
I'm not giving that information away.
Yeah.
But that's good.
Manhattan.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's cool. I was going to say, and then, so you were there around the same time that like Lisa was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa was a little ahead. She left yeah, she was a little ahead of me, but like Lisa, Megan, there was like a huge Chicago crew that went out. But Chicago just has such a cool, it's such a great like training ground, I think, for comedians, but then everyone just leaves.
Is kind of, it does, I guess, have like a bit of a ceiling just because of where like the industry is located, but it also, it's, I don't know, it's, if it's,
I will say though, but it's also very doable to like live there because there's so much, they do have a lot of like the Dick Wolf shows, like the Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD. So there's a lot of people that just, that make it work very, very well as a like actor, comedian. There's still a lot of industry, like my voiceover agent, I still have like my voiceover agents from there. There's a ton of like VO work based, I mean, VO work is fucking anywhere, but yeah, you can totally make it work in Chicago. Yeah. I want it to be here.
Yeah. Does it feel like there's still like a decent scene there? I mean, I don't know how much you know.
I was actually just there last week. And I was talking to the comics and they were like, it's kind of, I think everywhere, I think COVID just
fucking
tanked every scene everywhere.
Yeah.
And people are building them up in different ways. But from what I understand, the scene has just been shaken a little bit.
Yeah. I was just having this like, I don't know, this thought the other day that was like, in general, and like obviously the state of the world is like such a nightmare right now, but it feels like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You've been asleep for the last 18 hours.
Yes.
It feels like we are, like, obviously we've always been like dealing with like what COVID was and it still is for us, but it feels like the coming back was so exciting that everybody was just like, and we power through, and now it's kind of like, oh fuck, like what is gonna be the next 5 years, like what does forward life look like? Like I have no sense of like what the future holds for anything, and obviously the Trump presidency is not helping that either, but like I don't know, it just feels like, in, and then taking that back to our conversation about comedy, like it seems like we are just now being like, we were just talking about this before you got here, like how there's like, it feels like there's no indie shows, or like not enough, or not as many as there used to be even like a couple years ago, and I don't know if it's like just like slowly but surely it's like settling that, like I don't know, things are different now than they used to be.
Indie shows, variety shows, but like COVID, I think about this all the time where I'm like, we just never addressed it.
Yeah.
Like we just never societally addressed it. And we were just like, we're done now. And it's like, we're not going to address the fact that like it, on every level, like how many people died, how disrupted everyone's lives were, how many people had how were unemployed for 2 years and are still struggling to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that were in school at critical ages for social interaction.
Not good.
Like we're seeing like test scores are just bottoming out because they just didn't get any of like the person to person interaction that they needed. And we just like have not even address that at
no,
all.
No, total avoidance. Complete and total avoidance. Yes. And it's like, huh, I wonder in our history when we've avoided things massively for decades and decades and decades and how that has served us. Like
insane. I don't know what the like, I don't know what the, how a sit down as a world conversation goes, but like, yeah, I'd be curious to know like the long-term effects of this are going to be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And I was just, I don't know if either, I know you don't really care much about NBA basketball. I don't know if that enters your world at all.
A touch. I'm a Celtics gal, or I'm from Boston. So,
oh, okay, so then this Celtics actually will be relevant to you, because Porzingis, they're like one of their big guys, he like kept getting, he has like long COVID, I guess, and like he, since he had it, they're all the Celtics players and team and whatever, like he's not the same, like something, yeah, so like there's also that too. It's just
the long-term health, like there's just, we just are so bad at addressing anything that makes us feel uncomfortable. This is the same sex thing that we were talking about just now. We have a complete inability to sit in discomfort, and I think technology is think about just what it used to take to do your daily tasks, like going to the grocery store, or like you wanted to buy, there's like a new perfume I want, or like I need to like buy a perfume again. And I used to have to like go to the store, like find where it was being sold and then go to the store and pick it up. And now I'm just like, I can just click and
double
do that.
Click on the side.
Double click on the side. It's not, I don't even need my fucking wallet anymore.
Yeah.
What perfume is it? So irrelevant.
It's called Rude Elements by Kerosene. And it's, I'm wearing a different oud scent right now. Can you get, are you getting, let me see.
Yeah, that's really nice.
It's nice, right?
That's really nice.
He's a big scent guy.
Are you a scent guy?
Yeah, I love fragrance. I
like that.
Yeah, oud is my favorite. That's, I have really oud lovely undertones and everything. But The convenience. Oh, the convenience of stuff has made us, I think, unable to sit in discomfort.
Yes.
Like we can't be uncomfortable in whatever sense of the word, uncomfortable with time. Like, but I want it now.
Yeah.
It's like, do you need the book? Does it need to be Amazoned overnight now? Yeah. Are you going to start reading it tomorrow? Or can you go to your local bookstore and maybe it takes 5 days to get the book.
And how many times have we overnighted a book that has never been opened?
Like, not, you know, cracked. Not even cracked.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. No, I
just ordered the Duplass Brothers book and I'm not going to read it. I did just order it.
Wait, like, what is it? I love them.
It's called, someone told me it was good about if you have a collaborative partner. So I'm going to give it to you.
Great.
It was called Oh Brother or Brother Mark wrote it.
I love him.
I'll give it to you when I'm done.
Please do. Book swap.
And then I'll, yeah.
Book swap.
Yes.
I love this.
It comes sometime today because I ordered it yesterday.
Order from Better World Books. Can I just say that?
Oh, yeah. Better Amazon. World Books.
Better World Books is amazing. I just got social from there and I'm so excited to be reading this.
Where I see this is that I've worked in Pilates.
Oh, yes.
That's interesting.
I love
that. Wait, that name is so familiar. Matthew Lieberman. Did he write something else?
I don't know if he wrote something else. He's got an interesting...
If only there was something you could read about him on the back of the book.
If only. Perhaps a bio.
Yes. If only there were old media ways to learn things.
Reading.
He's so handsome.
I also, I find myself really interested in this kind of stuff, too. Just, like, the way that technology has fucked with our socializing and our brains and just, like... Yes. I don't know. It's, I read a book during the pandemic that was about like the alt-right and tech boom kind of overlap and how the tech boom like led to the alt-right movement and how like Reddit and all these things were like and YouTube and the algorithms and the ways that they were like kind of dealing with it, not dealing with it. And this guy like going and following basically the rise of all these like alt-right influencer people, pundits, whatever. And it was so crazy to read that in like 2020 and be like, oh, we didn't even realize. Like, we're still watching that wave rise. Yeah. It feels like it's crazy.
Well, and it's crazy too because the other side of the coin, I think about like the Arab Spring, like when that happened, and that was one of the first like positive effects of social media and connection.
Yeah.
Was like, you can't just create a forum for one group of people.
Yeah.
Like what we've done is created a forum for like, for good and evil.
Yeah.
And that's such a hard, it's like, it's being expanded in both directions, but it is, yeah, you can find your people online, whether you do it for good or bad purposes.
Yeah. No, it's pretty gnarly, but,
Fitness. So I've worked in group fitness for a long time and through
as
COVID.
As an instructor.
Yes. And then also a fan. You want to come? I'll comp you.
Yes.
Oh, I would love to have you. Oh my God,
love fitness.
I would love to have you.
I love fitness.
Okay, I think you'll like it. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a lot of fun.
I bet.
Yes. I've only been twice. It's been a while. I should go back sometime.
Yeah, let's go.
I do a
let's
one,
go.
Yeah, let's
I
do
would
it.
Love.
I do
talk
a
one-year
check-in, and my stomach hurts for the next 48 hours, and then I'm like on
I'm
the inside of my stomach.
So excited.
Okay, you have to come. There's two things that I think have really changed. I don't know. And this happened as I moved to New York. So I don't know if this is a New York, Chicago thing, but I think it's just, I think it's maybe both that and then COVID. Phones were never in class before. Now every workout class that I take, mine and the other ones, it's like I go to Barry's Bootcamp. There's a girl walking on the treadmill on her phone. Scroll, swear to God.
During class.
Yes. And I'm like, this is crazy. And then the instructor
it's
who
like,
I thought
was.
Why
are you paying all this money?
Someone is paying all this. I have no idea.
Like.
And then the instructor comes over, who I think is his god. And then he says, he's like, hi, I don't care if you're on your phone. I was like, now you're weak. Now you're weak. Run your room.
Absolutely. Run your room.
Run your room.
Run your room. Phones away. You can't have your phone away for 45 minutes while you are doing something else.
While you are on a treadmill. If you fall on this treadmill, it will be bad for all of us.
But it's also so good.
Like,
but also so good for me personally.
Oh,
just to know
the stories. Oh, the EMT will come. It'll.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is they always say, look at your, like, say hi to your neighbor or whatever. People can't look at their. Now to the point where I say, if your neighbor doesn't look at you, they're weird. You're not weird. They're weird. Because for a while I stopped telling people to look at their neighbor because if I took a class and my neighbor wouldn't look at me yesterday, then I'd be like, now I feel weird. I feel affected by their inability to connect. And it's like, no, they should feel crazy.
It's good that we have you in the trenches teaching these white women how to socialize.
I say if
and
you,
they need they need to use their voices more.
It's like if you can't look at your neighbor, you don't need Pilates, you need
more
therapy.
From white women.
It does feel crazy because it's like all women and I am a man who's like kind of like running the room. And I'm
yeah,
like,
but this is what they pay for.
They're paying for a gig idea with them.
Listen, difference between straight men and gay men. You know what I mean?
No,
like
true.
You, like the safety is mutual. You know what I mean?
Michelle Wolf on her last special has a great joke where she's like, women like befriending gay guys because they're like, he's mean to me, but in a different way. Which I thought was so apt and so funny.
So good.
I coach kids soccer, and when I first started coaching, I was really expecting like the phones to be an issue, or like the kids to have phones way younger than I would have like, you know, sort of thought they should or whatever. But I feel like we're maybe getting to the other end of that spectrum a little bit, where parents mm-hmm. of like, I feel like if your kid is between like 12 and like, I don't know, 25 now, maybe that's like a generation that had overuse of the phones. And like, you still do see it some places, but, and also I think obviously like I coach a lot of rich kids. So I think their parents have the ability to be like, oh, this is a bad thing. And like, they have a nanny instead of like, you know, putting a tablet in front of them because they don't have other options. But like, I was really kind of pleasantly surprised at how little they do actually have phones or like use them at all.
Do they have flip phones?
No. Who has a flip phone?
I think, flip phones are amazing. I think we need to bring back flip phones.
I think so too.
But I do think the pendulum's swinging in the other direction, which is exciting that we are realizing like we can't be like, this is so damaging.
Totally.
And we have to shut this down. But flip phone, would you? I mean, I wouldn't, but.
I would not. But you know what I would do? An iPod Nano. If I could have music off my phone, I would do it.
I think we should go back to Blackberries. That's my theory. That's where we should have stopped because it has email. I think it is nice to be able to be like out and about and be able to like, you know, work.
Check your email.
And whatever. If Blackberry had music, we could do that. And then like, you know, you can get on the internet if you have to. Like, I do like having a map in my phone. I think that is like helpful.
I must be able to access Sniffies.
No, it's true.
100%
of your right local to the library.
Oh my god, people going to the library to get on Sniffies. That's hilarious.
I
feel like that would have been like the
The last co-working space that would like the last third is it third space is that third space
yeah
that's like a, the last third it's a place you can go and you're like, I don't have to buy a drink here, but I can sit here in peace.
I'm a huge proponent of libraries.
I'm trying to go to the library by me, though, there's so many fucking kids yelling.
Oh, that's a nice library.
Let me take this back. The Stavros Library downtown is incredible.
Okay, I'll check that one out.
Incredible.
Because the one by me, it's just like there's always kids there screaming, and it's like, well, why would I come here?
That's annoying.
Yeah, yeah, I went on a date with this guy who cried. No problem.
At library date?
Yeah, he cried.
Why did he cry? Wait.
Well, he totally was valid to cry. There was like, he had like a whole thing with his back that was like really, and it actually is so sad, but it's also like, okay, like,
first
I hope
date?
You're well. First and last.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
To cry. And I was like, wow, I'm like such a good source of like comfort for people, but then also never heard from him again.
On a first date, he had a severe back problem that he was like venting to.
No, it was like of the past. Like it was maybe an ongoing issue. He was in the ocean. I don't know. So like, not to make light of this, but I think he's fine.
Can he walk?
I think he's fine. Great. Yeah, he walked fine. He walked totally fine.
More importantly, I mean, I love the idea of a library date, but to look at books?
We sauntered, we walked. I think it's good to, it's like a nice, happy, peaceful environment where there's not alcohol or noise, except where you're right, there are like kids screaming. It was like a Sunday afternoon.
But to go to a nice library, to go to like the, I forget what it is, but the one that's downtown, that's the famous one in Ghostbusters. That would be a beautiful date spot.
The Breakfast at Tiffany's Library.
Mm. That's also the New York Public Library, like the big one in Bryant Park is really nice too.
That one, that's the one.
That one's really fancy.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Stunning.
Beautiful. They got those lion statues outside.
That's cool.
I'm such a... Yeah. My grandma's maiden name was Lion. I have a whole thing with lions. So I love...
L-I-O-N.
L-Y-O-N.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Leon.
Leon's so pretty.
I have a tattoo in my arm.
I love that. Pretty. What was the last one? Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about Queer Ultimatum. That was the last thing. You haven't seen Queer Ultimatum?
I haven't seen it. Tell me and the viewers who don't know.
Okay, so it is they've had Ultimatum on Netflix for like a little while, straight Ultimatum, but Queer Ultimatum is the same thing just with gay couples, but it's basically they take couples that are like, one party in the couple has given the other an ultimatum of like, we got to get engaged or it's off. And so they have all these couples that have that situation. They bring them to an island or wherever they do these, and they let them split up and like recouple, and then they split up again and go back with their original, right? Isn't that how it works?
This is correct.
And so they like have an opportunity to like be with somebody else and kind of see like, am I being treated well? And like, you know, what is it, you know, what new things am I learning about myself spending time with like a new person about like, and having time to get out of that relationship for a minute just to like see what that's like.
Is there any sign, are they always, is the person who was given an ultimatum always paired with someone who had given an ultimatum? Does this make sense?
Not always. I don't think it's like a, it's not like a half of, it's if not like split in that way. Okay. It's like you can be with anybody.
Sure.
That you are attracted to in this group, I guess.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So then they re-couple and then they split them up again and they go back with their originals and then they like kind of decide, are we going to get together? Are we going to leave? Whatever. But so much drama. So much drama.
I cannot wait to watch
this.
No,
you have to watch it. There was some really great characters in the last one. And of course it's all lesbians. So they like fuck on the first date. They're like fully like, U-hauling immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's intense.
How long do they get to be apart from their original couple?
I feel like it's like a week, maybe.
But you're just on an island, so it's like,
yeah. Here's the thing. Are they on an island?
Or like Hawaii or something?
They were
in San Diego.
Here's what
they?
I liked about this show. It's so low budget that they were not on an island. They were still working their day jobs. Because they're all
so right. They went to them at work, didn't
yes,
they?
There's no gay budget at Netflix. No, like, there's no money for that.
That's so good. Wait, no, but Straight Ultimatum, they did.
I don't even know. I don't think I ever
like
saw Straight Ultimatum.
We never watched that. Nick Lachey, shout out, is the host of that.
Yeah.
We never got into that.
And was the ultimatum, it was always like a marriage ultimatum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you might like
spending a week.
I know.
Who the hell are the people coming up with these goddamn shows?
I know.
Sitting in a room just like, I got it. That's so specific. Yeah. That is such a specific premise for a show.
It's like,
did somebody give you an ultimatum?
Like,
think about how long it took you to explain what that should. Do you remember just like what Survivor? Just survive on an island.
Yeah.
And now we are at, did someone give you an ultimatum to get married? We're going to take you. We're going to put you on an island. We're going to put you with other people who are also given an ultimatum. We're going to give them a week and then we have to get back to like, this is
crazy.
I hope an asteroid comes. Do you know what I mean? Like, we deserve an asteroid.
No, we are so post-modern. It's unbearable at times. It's unbearable how
couple show that you just talked about. Not Couple to Thruple. What was the other one?
Oh my God, I can't even remember the name of this one. But this one was not like a competition style show, reality type thing, even though Ultimatum isn't really competition. But it wasn't that kind of style show. It was just like a reality show that was following a family, kind of like pseudo-documentary sort of style, like showing their lives. But it was this family, these two families that have combined sort of to be a big polycule together, and the women stay in the same bedrooms every night and the guys switch every night and they're all sort of in a relationship, but the guys are like kind not, but the girls maybe are too.
Okay.
And then the big drama is one of the women gets pregnant and they don't know who the dad is because they switch every night.
They switch every night.
But then they're also like, well, we're all a family.
And
but
it's
you
a real
feel
story.
There's tension. Yes.
Yeah.
These people live in Oregon.
Here's what the WGA needs to do. The WGA needs to hire a hitman to take out one person on all of these shows. And then they'll be like, well, we can't have these shows anymore. People are dying on them. And then we'll start writing shows again. Like, how can we compete with this? We can compete with this. We're not going to write anything more interesting than that. Like,
no, people love a carnival, love a freak show. They love to be voyeurs in that way.
Hugo Carney says polycool freak show.
And you can quote me on that.
Absolutely.
You can
canceled.
Quote me on that.
Lisa.
Lisa Traeger has this hilarious joke in her Netflix special about she like walks through. She goes, this is just a regular episode of Real Housewives. This wasn't a series finale. This wasn't even a season finale.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, there's a stripper. It's during COVID. They have like a mask on. They're fishing. There's crab cakes. Like, it's just so.
There's a woman shivering on a wall.
There's a woman shivering.
This is such a visual. It's like, the word shivering is
so funny. It's like, we cannot. You truly can't make it up.
No.
Like, there's no.
No.
Okay, question. When do you watch? How much of this do you watch like in a day? And when do you watch TV? Because I'm finding there are so many things I want to watch, but I'm just always at night, but then I'm doing show. Like,
I will watch, I mean, like on off nights, I'll watch stuff. Maddie and I, my girlfriend and I will watch like, we like the kind of crazy dating shows sometimes.
Okay.
If there's nothing scripted on that we're interested in watching, cause they're so fucking crazy. And I like watching stuff like that, like with a group of friends. If we're gonna like all hang out, like that's a fun thing to put on and kind of like half pay attention to.
Okay.
I'm not a big. You watch more Housewives than I do, but you're kind of new into it as well.
Kind of. I watch Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only
they're doing a Chicago.
really?
Oh shit!
Oh my god! That's
is Meredith
cool.
Marks gonna move back?
She's yeah. It's a nice out for her.
Yeah. Wow. But I'll usually watch. Like I'm usually doing. Like if I'm playing video games or watching TV, it's usually like before a spot. Like in this like okay. kind of like late afternoon time.
Yeah. Like four to 6 p.m.
Yeah. Okay. That's usually when I'm.
Are they gonna be like River North people?
My guess is it's gonna be a lot of Gold Coast or suburbs.
True, there's
a lot of wealth in the suburbs.
When I left, I was like seeing this guy kind of for 3 months, and we like he had a car, totally cool, and he drive me to Evanston, and we just like drive around, and there's part of me that was like, I could be so happy here, and then I was like, no, I'm leaving.
Evanston is beautiful.
So pretty. Enormous lawns.
Yeah.
That's where Northwestern is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like north of the city. It's really lovely.
Ritzy.
It's really lovely. Yeah. But Chicago, like, and Evanston from like New York City would be amazing. But like Chicago, you could live in Edgewater and have like similar vibes.
Yeah.
Chicago in general, I was like, God, this is so, it is so
beautiful there.
So livable here.
It is. Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like the perfect, like, midway between New York in a suburb where there's like it's like a more expanded New York, and like
you hear that? Nico thinks Chicago is a suburb, third largest city in the U.S.
But it like has like a, it has more like you can just like actually move around, and there's not a million people all the time. But it does have public transit, and you like good access to like it is a big city.
Yeah,
but like you can drive, and you can you know there's just
you can live your life.
There's more of a life to except for when it's fucking freezing. But other than that,
I actually don't mind that.
I guess you're
from Boston. I'm a Boston, but I don't mind. I really love four seasons, but I also that middle section of winter where it's like disgustingly cold. Like Chicago knows how to deal with that.
Yeah,
you just go you go to bars or like you have your activities. You have your stuff you do.
I like romanticize the time of just like running in the dead of winter, and it's so cold, and you're running from open mic to open mic, and you're going like under a bridge. I was always under a bridge, and you see
so many bridges.
Like, you know, like between River North and where IO was, how it's just like no man's land, and it's there's nothing like that in New York. Like maybe like Bushwick, whatever, but like I very much romanticize an entire period.
I loved it. Just starting my shitty little car, my Toyota Corolla. Please start that sound. Yeah. That sound.
I had a car for 1 year. My dad, he like drove me to Chicago in this car, and then he flew home. And then after that year, I said, I can't have this car anymore. And he flew to Chicago and drove the car home.
Wow. Diva.
He loves
absolute diva.
Him.
He loves
you. Yes. I was like, you mean insurance? My car insurance isn't going to pay for the new XYZ? Then we can't have this. I was I was not a good driver. I shouldn't have had that.
Where are you from?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's Philly suburbs. That's right.
Philadelphia suburbs. I had a car because I was working on the south side of Chicago for the first year, and I was like far from where. I worked at a high school in Gresham. CICS, Ralph Ellison. Do you know that school?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. I worked in Woodlawn, my rape crisis center stuff. I was the coordinator of our prevention education program. So we did sexual violence prevention programs in Chicago public schools from like 2011 to like 2021.
Oh my God. We would have overlapped. That's crazy.
Totally would have overlapped.
I was there like 2016 to 2017.
If you saw a gay guy with ankles and Gucci mules.
My ankles are always. I didn't know how to dress.
Fully ankles out?
Ankles out. And the children were like, we can't be taking this
seriously.
That's grooming. Ankles out. Listen, that is technically. Call DCFS.
For real.
Yeah, I have a report.
We're seeing gay ankles out.
This is like weird Banana Republic gingham shirt.
But you're a teacher. But you're a public school teacher. You get a total pass.
Of course.
You get a total pass.
And then I would have this car, and I would just like drive home every day, and like I would suck a Tootsie Pop. Because you're just sitting in traffic the whole
for
day.
Hours.
You could eat a meal. Like you're just sitting
going up on the Outer Drive or Western or wherever.
Yes,
like,
it was so beautiful.
So
like,
gorgeous.
And then 1 week SoulCycle had a free teacher's week, so I canceled my office hours for that whole week and just like drove to SoulCycle. And that's not okay. And that's why we need the Department of Education.
Educational inequity is real.
That's what it caused this. That was not right, and I'm sorry. That was wrong.
We're
gay guys
are
some of our biggest offenders of educational inequity.
That's so funny.
Because then you're
funny.
Like at a SoulCycle just like with a bunch of teachers. Like,
but guess what? They needed it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, true. Nobody's getting extra math help this week.
English.
Or English help. Should we get to some boys clubs?
What's a boys club that you are not a part of?
A boys club I'm not a part of. Okay. now after I heard your guys, but this is the thing my brain went to. The boys club I'm not a part of is the raging unstoppable confidence boys club.
Oh, that's like, tough.
That's a club that I have a lot of confidence outwardly. Inwardly, if you could hear what my brain is saying, unbelievable. And I just want a little bit of, especially like being at the Cellar and being in comedy, like the way that I see boys walking around with unshakable confidence. Yeah. I'm just like, please give me some of that.
Yeah, totally.
It's something innate that I think cis straight men get put in them at such a young age. And then like, it's just some like it feels like something you need to have had by like 8 years old, or you will not ever graduate, be able to get it again.
Yeah.
You know? And I even notice it with the kids I coach. Like, you can see just the difference in, like, you know, people socialize boys versus girls, even at those young ages, like how much, like, you know, the boys are already like, I'm the best on the team and I'm going to be this guy and this, whereas the girls don't talk that way at all.
At all.
It's so interesting.
The fear I walk around with.
Yeah.
On every level. I'm not good. Like, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
I want it.
And there are men who have much less to show for themselves, who have so much confidence.
So much confidence.
No, delusion is a gift.
It's a true gift. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I want it. Like, yeah. I don't, what's the key?
I think it's like half the battle is delusion, is like that I just believe, I don't know, people that have never thought that they wouldn't be good enough and they just then are.
It's always so wild to me how like these things that we like, I can identify, like, oh, okay, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're in the classroom and all the presidents are men. And so then you see that's like, oh, if you're raised a girl, you're like, oh, I don't see myself there. So like, it's like, as an adult, you think, okay, well, it can't be that simple, right? It can't just be that simple. But it's crazy that it's like, oh, you know, it does imprint on us in ways that we have no idea or control over. And then, like, fast forward to an adulthood, and you, even if you can tell yourself all these things, or you've built yourself up and you have a great career and you're doing all these things, you still have that voice from literally when you were, like, in kindergarten.
Child.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing internal family systems. Are you familiar?
Heard of it.
My therapist was telling me about this.
It's amazing. It's amazing modality of therapy, but it's about revisiting parts of, like, A, it's, like, how, like, different parts of yourself will show up. So, like, the firefighter shows up in, like, emergencies, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like the way that I'm doing it with my therapist is, like, visiting myself at different ages to be, like, what did you need that you didn't get and how can I give that to you now?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so crazy, like, the different parts of myself and what I'm like, oh, I still fully believe that. Like,
yeah.
I still, despite looking at, like, you could write my little resume down on a piece of paper and it's like, yeah, you're doing all the stuff. You did it. You're doing it.
Totally.
But not believing it.
Yeah.
It's like that innate trust that I just.
Yeah. I've been talking to my therapist about something like similarly, like just talking about, you know, like internalized homophobia, internalized transphobia, that kind of stuff. And being like, I never out literally would have said like, I am lesser because I am trans. Right. Or I never would have like said that about another person. But like somewhere along the way or many places. By death by a million cuts, I have taken this in and I feel this. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy to be like, to that point, it's like you can't even quite even pinpoint when or where, but like you just have to like look back at little you and be like, that's what I've been doing a lot of that too, of like, what could I give you that I didn't get?
Yeah.
You know, and it is helpful, but it is like, oh fuck, there's a lot of times to go back to. Yeah.
Well, and you have to keep, and then you go in different situations that challenges you in a different way, mm-hmm. or challenges a different age, like whatever it is. I've been trying to do this thing where I'm like, what's the opposite belief? Like where I'm waking up and I'm being like, what's the story that you're telling you that you're telling yourself? And like, what if you just believed the opposite today? Just for today. Like, just choose to believe the opposite today. And early stages. But I'll report back.
It's like a real fake it till you make it. Convince yourself of whatever reality you want to.
I have really bad stage fright. Sometimes I take beta blockers. Amazing. And
what are they called, by the way?
Propanolol.
Propanolol. My doctor prescribed that to me, and I'm like, do I take one?
I try it. I think they can maybe dampen a little bit. I don't feel quite as creative on them.
Okay.
But if it's like, if you're gonna go up there and do a generally scripted set, like, that's, I think they can be good. If you're going up there and doing something where you want to be very off the cuff and you're like doing crap, I think then that would not be as good.
Okay.
So it depends what you need at the time.
It brings your blood pressure down.
It brings your heart rate. Yes.
Heart rate down.
Heart rate just stays
and it
low.
Just it helps with like
heart rate's super low already.
Mm, yeah,
that's good.
I think it helps,
which is good. But I have been fainting,
okay.
So
oh,
not great.
No. Okay, so great. Maybe don't take a beta blocker.
If you went to the website that I went to, they wouldn't have sent it to you, and then you'd have to like make a new account and try again because I had to do that.
You're trying to outsmart Dr. Chatbot.
You went to a website to get prescription meds.
A doctor who only texts.
I love this.
That's the future of medicine.
And honey, I'm in.
Yeah,
but sometimes
me.
When I get nervous,
yeah,
I
so
say,
you take, yeah.
I'm so excited. And this is so gay. This is gay. But I'm like, I'm so excited to get there and be Connor Janda. And I was like, I actually wouldn't
I
trade
that.
Any of my jokes with these other people here.
Yeah.
I'm so excited you get up there and you get to be Connor Janda. And I think it'd be really cool to be up there and be Alex Kuhnman.
Oh,
it'd be scary to be you. But I'm just kidding. I think it'd be amazing to be you. It'd be so
thank you,
to be
you. Thank you.
But it's like you get up there, you're gonna be fucking Nico Carter.
Thank you. Thank
you don't
you.
Have to be one of these other fucking losers. Like,
yeah.
My God.
Yes.
Because even the people
I love that.
Yes.
Well, because yes. Excitement and nervousness present same physiologically in your body.
Because even if you, I could be wrong. I imagine even these men that you're like, oh, I really, I wish I had that confidence. You don't wish you had his jokes.
No.
Yeah.
And that's
never.
That's the thing that's helped me climb out of like jealousy or like envy holes when I mm-hmm. fall into those is like, maybe you're envious of like one aspect of that person's life, mm-hmm. but like, would you take that whole person's life?
Yeah, no.
Would you take who their friends are, who they date, what their family situation
right.
is, what their past life, like,
right.
that's been yeah. such a helpful reframe for me.
And
it's
also,
like, no, I like it. Here.
Within comedy specifically, I find that a lot of the straight guys that we run into doing comedy are so fucking miserable.
They're
they are
so,
so miserable.
Miserable.
And then I talk to gay people and women that are in comedy, and it's like, despite all the forces that be being against all of us, it's like a really happy community of people, generally speaking, and people are
yes.
like very willing to hang out and chat and whatever, and it's like immediate camaraderie and stuff, whereas like with the guys, straight guys specifically, they're just like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, you know, we've all done like showcase shows or whatever, and you're on with a bunch of comics and there's a lot on the line and people are nervous, and then these straight guys come back and they're like, oh, I fucking bombed. And it's like, can you take that somewhere else? Like, everybody's trying
stiff
to prepare right
upper
now.
Lip it's
literally,
called stiff upper lip,
like, take it on the chin, leave us out of it. Like, take
literally leave.
Go
literally
call,
just leave.
Call somebody
yes.
else. Leave. Like, go outside to have a cigarette. Whatever the fuck you need to do.
Yeah.
But, like, don't make it our problem.
It's do not make your problem my problem.
Yeah. And,
yes.
And they just, but it's like in that same vein of that confidence, it's just like that general taking up space and being like, oh, whatever is bothering me should be out loud.
The taking up space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so, it's like, it, but it's so like, you guys have all of the like sociological industry possibility, just everything behind you as just like a straight dude to start with, especially mm-hmm. if you're white, and then you're so much more miserable than the rest of us. Like, how does that add up? Like, it's so strange.
Yeah, there's something beautiful. It's like, I'm gonna be kind of weird anyway, so I might as
yeah.
well go do it.
Yeah.
And then, did you ever do improv in Chicago?
I did 2 years of improv. Went through all of Second City.
Oh, cool. Do you remember when they would be like, you're falling out of, I don't know if this might have been actually just one man that said this. And
who's no longer there.
He was
he
touching.
Said, take the cyanide pill.
Yeah.
They do improv is, the institution of improv, I just think is so, I did it for, I don't know why, I was very bad at it, and I just like kept coming back. I couldn't stop. It was like a bad relationship that I just couldn't give up on. And, but the one thing they said that I still sometimes think of is like, you're falling out of an airplane. Just have fun. You're falling anyway. And it's like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't actually remember what the point of that was.
I don't know if I love that image of falling out of an airplane as my baseline, but
totally. Yeah.
It's like you're
already you're
on the
like,
trampoline.
I've been fainting.
Yeah. Trampoline is
yeah.
way safer.
You're already going to bounce and break your arm. It's fine.
Yeah.
Did you do stand up from Second City? Like,
yeah. So I did. I went through all of like 2 years of improv. And I remember like, I was like, oh, I love comedy. I love this. And then I was getting a little like, okay, it's a lot of theater people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of like yes. vocal warm up.
But they're all straight men.
But they're all straight men.
But the first
yes,
day you're like.
Because it's not theater gays. It's like not like. Like, theater gays are amazing, but it was just like straight, like, da. And I was like, this is maybe not for me. And then
because
I
day
tried,
one, you're like, there's like five guys here I'm going to kiss. And then little by little, it's like, oh, what's a fun fact? I have a girlfriend, one by one, all of them. And you're like, you're all straight. What the fuck?
All straight.
And it's like, does your girlfriend know you do this?
Improv.
It's because gay guys have friends that they go watch the theater stuff with and they get that out of their system, where straight guys are like, I guess I should keep doing improv.
I guess the world needs my off the cuff comments.
Don't you want to hear me raw, unfiltered?
Oh my God. Give me a suggestion, please. No, and then I took a stand-up class, and I was like, oh, the thing I like about improv is that when I say something funny, the room reacts.
Yes.
That's, I don't like anything else.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah.
I that liked. Makes sense. That
I was actually, kind of my I did like improv. I'm glad I had, like, a foundation in it.
Yes, it was nice to, like, meet up and rehearse, and then when we would go on stage, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I just like the part we were hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, that we're, like, now on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm playing a woman, and it's just, like, every time. It was bad. It was bad. I wonder about that sometimes. It doesn't matter. It was bad.
That's like, but Sabrina Wu has a joke about that, being like, did I know I wasn't on Barney? Well, I opened every scene in improv being like, hey, you toots. Like, why am I always that guy?
Not even just a woman. I would always be a maternal character, like a motherly old person. Like, it was not.
Matron.
Yeah, never sexual.
A postmenopausal woman.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. But similarly, that. Then I took stand-up and I was like, oh, we get to write it down. I'm obsessed with that. Even in second
I get
city,
to write it. I get to, yeah. It's me.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
have to, I don't have to coordinate 12 schedules
yes,
on a Sunday.
That is nice too.
I don't have to, pick up the dead slack of the person who's not funny or the several people who are not funny.
Connor on the wall.
Connor on the wall, shivering on the wall. Shivering on the wall.
There's a gay guy shivering on a wall.
There's a gay guy shivering on a wall. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is, you rise and fall by yourself.
Yes, yes. That part is so nice, not having to like focus on anybody else or care about anybody else's schedule, any of it. It's just like so much easier.
Yeah. I love a solo endeavor. At this point, and now I wish there was more, now I'm missing a little teamwork.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, now then I'll find it.
It's nice to be able to have both, like to do stuff with people and have that, but also like have other things that like, okay, well like this is something that I will always have, that'll always just be me. I mean, it was one of the reasons I also found I started doing sketch in college, and then we had like a campus open mic and I did it and I was like, oh, I like this
is
doing this and talking about something, whatever. I found that much more just like enticing to me. But it also, like, when I first started doing stuff like in New York and stuff, it was like, oh, well, I only need $5 to do this. Like, that's the only barrier to me getting on stage and actually do, because it felt like I wanted, like, coming into it, I was like, I think I want to write for TV or something. Like, I loved like Parks and The Office. I want to do something like that. But it was like very clear, right? Almost immediately, like, oh, there's, how the fuck do you make that happen?
It's that's like,
even now, still, it's like, I still don't know how to make that happen. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, this is like, just all, it's just me and my God and this $5 and,
yeah,
and 3 minutes, and like that just felt so liberating.
No, it's cool. It's, again, it's a two sides of the coin thing. It's cool because anyone can do it, and then it's like anyone
can
will.
Do it, and boy if they will. Yeah, no, we have heard I'm sure collectively we've heard some of the worst things.
Oh my God.
A man could say.
A man.
And occasionally a woman.
Occasionally a woman.
Occasionally a
sometimes
woman.
A woman. We were like, you.
Wow, good for you, girl. Say the thing that right. these boys are saying. Love that. Yeah.
Justice for Greta Thunberg. We've heard some really mean things about Greta Thunberg.
We have heard some real drags of her.
No.
Fucking Greta Thunberg. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Enough.
What is the boys' club that you are a part of?
Sports.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sports. I played soccer.
Yeah.
And a little basketball and a little track. And that is, there is something that I do love about, like, I just love this. I love athletics atmosphere. And like, I love that I'm still involved with, like, I box now and I'm like, I used to run marathons and I like, there's some, I just love the teamwork-ness of it.
Are you like a sports watching fan as well? Or are you more into like playing?
I'm only into playing. I can't watch sports. It takes too much time to like remember, because you can't. I think it's hard to like watch just like one team and then know what else is happening in the rest of the league. That like you have to dedicate like with football. It's like, okay, now you like it's all your whole Sunday, but then it's also like Thursday night. It's also Monday night, and it's also every other night of the week, apparently.
I think now their whole thing is like NFL. We're on every day but Tuesdays all fall long.
It's like,
whatever,
like,
happened
why?
To just Sundays?
Sundays. Like, that was it. I thought it was just locked in for one.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's bad for writers. That's like when Big Brother, when they had, during the writer's strike of 2007, in the winter, they had a Big Brother season because they suddenly, first time ever in the winter, because they could do 3 episodes a week and there are no writers. Reality TV is going to take, is ruining us. Is ruining us. We will never get jobs with you. We have to end it. The same thing with sports.
Yeah. You think it's the same market though?
I don't know.
Well,
sports and reality TV, I don't think there's much of a crossover, but
yeah.
They've got everybody.
But I think there's a scripted TV show crosses over
yeah
everything. There's totally. Something for everyone. Yeah, totally. There's a Big Bang Theory for everyone.
There oh, is. Yeah. There certainly is.
What did you run in track?
The 800.
I
did you run the 800?
That's a horrible race.
It's awful. It's a horrible so race. Hard.
It's such a long sprint.
It's so.
You I was lapped by everybody.
Lapped. Do you know with how, those calves? I can't even. I can see them through the jeans. Alex, I can see them through the denim.
Do you know how hard it is to get lapped with two laps by everybody?
Oh yeah.
Everybody.
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 Why did you keep running it? The 800, by the way, is two
laps.
Laps of a track that's somewhere between a. It's one or two notches below a sprint.
Yeah.
I bet I could sprint it now. Now I do this. You might care about this. Now I do this thing called the Norwegian 4x4. Finally, someone that cares about this. The Norwegian 4x4.
What is drama?
You sprint. Because no, I keep doing like word vomit where I'm like, don't tell this new person about this thing you're running. And then
I'm obsessed.
Doing it.
I can't wait.
Okay. It's supposed to change your VO2 max. I don't know what that is. But it's where you sprint for 4 minutes and then you get walk for three and then sprint for four.
For 4 minutes?
It's a longer interval. A longer, yes.
Like a How? Full ass sprint.
Are you actually sprinting?
Yeah. So I
sprint for 20 seconds.
Yours, yeah. The word sprint.
I do
might
the.
Be
did you
incorrect.
Do the like? I do like the. My coach used to have us do like the telephone pole, like, or you can use them with like lampposts. Any
oh, yeah.
like park or anywhere that has like lampposts or something, you sprint for one and then jog for two.
We would also do yeah. sprint the long side of the track, jog the short, sprint the long side,
yeah.
jog the short.
Oh my
which
god,
is terrible too.
It's awful.
That's yeah. the caveat is that it needs. You're right. Sprint's probably not the right word. It needs to be something that you can sustain for
like
4 minutes.
80%.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like your zone.
Athlete.
Yeah.
It's your zone four. Do you don't?
It's your zone four.
I don't know about that. But they would usually tell us like, okay, go 70%, go 80%, which is also kind of hard because it's like,
what's the difference between 70%?
Yeah, they right. say that it's like, SoulCycle. It's like you think these girls know? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. No, Katie in advertising doesn't know 80%.
She's on her damn phone.
Yeah,
like, she's not.
She's walking on that goddamn treadmill, and it's SoulCycle, so we don't know how she got a treadmill in here.
Barry's has BYO. Spin bikes now too. I went into a Barry's spin class. I was in it for 1 second. I was like, I hated the vibe so much, and then I just left. I had to run away. I just left. It wasn't.
I've done
fault.
One Barry's, and I was like, I can push myself harder.
No, I know. Yeah. I just feel like if Sorry. You're gonna, yeah, it's like you can the everything you do on the floor there is like kind of stupid. You're
yeah.
just like swinging heavy
it was
dumbbells at people.
Bad. I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
I've never really been into a workout class personally. It's not really my. I'd rather work out alone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What
yeah.
do you do? What do you do for workouts now?
I usually do. I'll lift. Sometimes I go on runs. My hips have been causing me some issues recently, so I'm trying to like figure that out before I like accidentally do something worse. I think I have like overuse issues from like years of soccer and
yeah.
stuff. So, I did box for a little while. I love boxing. It was just like it's hard to find group classes like that are A, not super expensive, but also like with stand up, like everything's after work hours, so it's like
totally.
Kind of tough to find those. So I do like during the day. I'll just like go to the gym and lift. But
FNT and. In Williamsburg is oh, where I switched to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah, there's also a place called Outbox, shout out, that's a trans-owned boxing gym.
Oh.
Which is, like, super cool. And then they
Amazing.
Have,
where
like,
is that?
It's also in Williamsburg. It's, like, under the BQE, kind of near the Metropolitan stop where that, like, park is.
Hell yeah. You know if you ever want to go to class, let me know.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it.
I have. I like, did
you
it.
Have the wraps.
You remember
have
this.
All the stuff.
I have the
yeah.
stuff. Because remember that one time I was in a bad mood?
Oh, I remember.
And I was like, I have to go box.
And you were going through a breakup. Can I say that?
Yeah.
You have to cut that.
No.
And I was like, that's God, breakups are so hard.
I had my amends.
I think there was more
this.
Going on than the breakup.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, there was. There was.
Yes.
But yeah. Okay, so you mentioned earlier you're a Celtics fan. Are you a big like Boston sport like New
I age? Mean, being from Boston, I was just talking to some people about this. Like it's Boston is so spoiled with like just literal like sports royalty.
Yeah.
Right? Like Patriots. Not I won't say the Red Sox are sports royalty, but like we did
but
just
they
like
were
this
very
they
good.
Were very good and then they weren't for a while and then they broke I remember like the when they broke the curse that was like amazing.
Yeah.
We all skipped school that day. And like yeah, it's just cool being from a town that it's like it's such a sports town. It's very
yeah.
similar to Chicago in that way.
No,
as
totally.
Well.
I was just talking to my girlfriend's from outside of Boston and she was oh, like,
okay.
Do people hate the Celtics because of Boston or because of the Celtics? And I was like Both. And she was like, what? And I was like, no, like they hate it because they hate Boston, but they also hate the Celtics. Like they hate Boston because of the Celtics and they hate the Celtics because of Boston. Like it goes hand in hand. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Totally.
Fuck Boston for that.
I know. Yeah. There's a lot
do you
of...
have hometown pride? You do.
I do. I do. It's cool. I'm Boston's such a cool city to be from.
Yeah.
But I also have lived away from there for so long and I never lived in, I grew up in the suburbs and then I moved to the Midwest and then I was in Chicago for many years, and now I'm here. So
that's
it's like
me with Philly, where it's like I don't know what I do love it, but I don't know what it's like to be an adult. Philly,
I don't know what it's similar. Like to be an adult yeah. In the city.
Yeah, yeah. Philly's uh-huh. similar to Boston, like good sports town.
Yeah,
and,
I bet that.
And
there's
like,
a
yeah.
Red Sox hat right there. I don't even know why.
Yeah, a lot of pride about Philly sports.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's people from Philly. I think are generally raised and spirited. So when I find yes. someone from yeah. Philly here, I'm like, oh, I feel connected to you.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
I grew up in Savannah, and like it's a smaller town. Obviously, we don't have like big sports things or big sports teams, but like it's so different there. Like college football is all the rage.
Yes.
In the South. It's
yes.
like NFL is like people care about it because it's such a national big right. thing, and because it's football. But like college, like it's
why
not,
is that?
You know, I think it's because the college football teams are really strong down there. I don't yeah. know. And I also because it's like a lot of like, you know, states that like Mississippi, for example, doesn't have an NFL team, but they have Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like kind of where it came from.
That would make
same
sense.
With Alabama. Like it's really like the Atlanta Falcons are kind of the entire.
Yeah.
Except for the Florida teams. And then like if you're in New Orleans, you have like the Saints. But
right.
I think anybody that's outside of that has like kind of fewer teams to root for. So
that totally
might be that.
Sense.
I'm sure there's something racist also involved there. I would imagine that's also part of it.
Of course, there's always that.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's in there somewhere. I don't know. I mean, and then like the state schools there are just like, you know, it's other than like, you know, because like up here it's like there's SUNY fill Everything. In the blank afterwards.
Right.
Like you can be anywhere, but like down there it's just like Georgia
this
Tech.
Is it. Yeah.
That's it, you know, like, and then the other ones are much, much smaller. So
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's like a totally different, because we moved down there when I was 8 and I even remember being like, oh, you guys don't care about the NFL? Like everybody's here like, sick of about the
yeah.
Georgia Bulldogs. I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's so huge.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's nuts.
Wild.
Damn. I'm trying to think what was the other thing I had to ask about sports. Okay, so do you box? Like do you spar or are you doing mostly classes?
I was sparring for a little and then back to... I had a trainer that I was working with, and she just got a place in Puerto Rico. So
Whoa.
She was like, she's doing
wow.
this cool. She's on this cool new journey, but she's been gone for a little while. So I'm back to classes, but I prefer like the one-on-one training. I
yeah.
got spoiled with like one-on-one boxing training, where I'm like, oh, I don't want any classes.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's
that's
such
a cool
a
thing
workout.
To do with a trainer.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable workout, and it's also I love knowing how to throw a punch.
Totally.
Like I love that I'm like very confidently like. Could
totally
maybe not like knock someone out, but like,
but that like at least it's in your body.
It's in like, my body.
You know,
like I know how
to. Yeah, totally.
It feels so good.
Throw a punch.
Yeah,
totally. I'm gonna learn.
Same.
I'm gonna learn.
Same.
You got to keep your up here to protect your face.
Mm-hmm. So it's like when they do arms, you hold mm-hmm. dumbbells and. Like that, but like
yes.
on the bike.
On the bike with the 2-pounders.
On
yeah.
the bike. I know that's always so insane to me with 2-pounder and just watching
just
actual skeletons.
Yeah.
Just like, just do this. And I'm
and
like,
they can't even
is...
really move because they're locked
no,
in.
No, you're
feet.
Locked in and it's such a. Yeah. I'm like,
no,
this is
strange.
Bad for form.
Yeah.
It's also like, if there's a fire, we are fucked.
Oh,
like, we're
yeah.
clipped
oh,
in.
Clipped.
We are in here. We
yeah.
can't hear anything.
I don't love
bad.
SoulCycle. I don't love it.
No, I don't. I go
I like it. I'll go. But like, I couldn't have a membership there.
Yeah, I think it's fun what they're doing with like the Taylor and Remy Wolf class or whatever.
Well,
yes.
here's what I'm
going
to say about that.
Yes,
I
yes,
went
yes.
to a Charlie versus Lord class.
Why versus?
Then,
why versus?
It should be with Charlie and.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And this girl, and I'm trying, like, I think women should usually talk. However, in this, I was like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to listen. I'm here for the music and the vibe. Why are you talking? I'm not inspired by you. Like, you don't know what's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Listen. Let us listen to Lord.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
The whole time. She talked the whole time. The whole
about,
too much,
about
too much, and also the instructor
jargon.
Really
yeah.
makes a difference.
Oh yeah,
like in such a major way.
I know.
Like
do you know Jasmine,
been, yeah.
Jasmine.
Oh,
like
she's unbelievable. I won Odessa
so
tickets in her Odessa
oh,
class,
shit.
And I couldn't go. I was not happy.
That's devastating.
That's really
no. The yeah. instructor really does make or break it. I love the guy that you know who finishes every class and says, "Can you believe we just did that on a fucking Monday?"
But if it's a Tuesday. On a fucking whatever day of the week it is. Or remind you.
Unbelievable.
Yes. I
can
believe it.
Can someone make some fucking noise? This guy's on steroids. He won't pay attention to me unless there's no other gay guys in the room, and then he'll only pay attention. Like, he will. He always pays attention to a gay guy. And it's like...
Well, I guess today it's you.
And then you have to be like... But, like, that's not in my bones. To be a comedian is weird because... Okay, I think about this sometimes. I think that what makes a comedian... good. I just decided this is such a thing to be a little crazy, but also know that you're crazy and be able to see the crazy part. And then also, and that's me. It's also
self-awareness crazy. Yes.
It's like,
well,
I
need to be weird enough to have something to talk about, or like offbeat enough for them to talk about, but you need to know what's weird about you and what's interesting about your perspective.
Like, so much. I am in love with my ex. Do you think that's a bit? I love him and I just know that it's crazy. I just wasn't to me like that, but I'm like, that's also so crazy.
That's love. That's
and
amazing.
Like,
at
SoulCycle, it's like, this is crazy, but I'm gonna cry. And like,
yeah.
They get you at your lowest. You're tired and you're like all endorphined out, and then they're like, yes. You just did that on a fucking Tuesday.
And then you do a group cheer and you're just like, yeah.
You're waving a towel around.
Oh my God. I have trouble in that environment.
I know, especially because you said that you like team things.
That's why, because I'm such a sucker for like, I'll cry at like a team, like a game or like the camaraderie from like my soccer team or something. But like, the souls, I think it's because I know who's in the room.
Yeah.
It's because I don't feel like I'm on the team with them. I'm like, we are not on the same team.
I don't have a matching set on. I don't know if I can be a part of this cheer.
Yeah.
I went to one class and they were like, surprise, everyone graduated from NYU here. It was like a surprise graduation party. And then one time it was this girl who just released
and
music.
And Connor.
It was this girl who released
how did
her.
You get it?
Really, I know. It's like, here's a here's a gay guy. Here's a 31-year-old gay
surprise.
Guy.
Surprise. It's New York City. We got a gay in the room.
I hate this town. And then I went to one class where this girl had just like released music, and I'm so obviously like, we're artists, but we're not gonna make you listen to us at SoulCycle.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine a SoulCycle where they're like, surprise, Connor's Don't Tell just dropped. We're gonna listen. Connor versus Nico's Don't Tell.
So my dad. You guys get the new Real ID, like,
oh my God,
that's what we need.
Oh my God,
because they do have Obama will come on sometimes and it'll be just an Obama speech with a beat drop. Have you not been there for this? Or Oprah quote that says, she has a quote where she's like, sometimes I get really still and I think, what should I do next, and then it's just like, literally, oh, I think about that quote all the time.
A bunch of women in ad sales being like, yes, will send that email.
Exactly. That's why I don't feel it.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're not. What do you need inspiration for? Yeah, to make the world a worse place.
Right. It's like, maybe if we had a bunch of nurses in here.
Yeah.
I would feel a little something.
Yeah. Our heroes. That's true.
Lots of pants.
Bling, 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 bling.
My last question for you is like, what do you feel like is a boys club you'd like to see in the world?
This one I struggled with. You know what is the boys club I want to see in the world? Is the mixture of the two that I just talked about.
Yeah.
Is like the athlete, like, which is why I love my trainer. My trainer does a great job of combining hard, push yourself to the max athletics with the softness of like reflection and really just a combination of like, I don't know. I just push yourself. Maybe a SoulCycle class. Maybe this is the boys club I want, is an exercise class that pushes you to your fucking limits physically. But then afterwards, it's a nice little reflection time.
And then you go out into the locker room, but it's actually a therapy session. You go right to therapy.
You go directly into therapy. I love that. That's actually genius for therapy, to be physically exhausted and then mentally.
Yes. And just like
empty
unfurl.
Out.
Yeah.
Like if I, okay, after I run the Norwegian 4x4.
Is
like,
this a race?
Yeah, it's just him and some sled dogs pulling him. That's the Norwegian 4x4.
We need to go back to this real quick. I know we're running out of time. But
because Rhonda Patrick, who is a doctor, I don't know if she's good or bad. She was on Joe Rogan, but they had a fallout over vaccines. So you decide. I don't know.
Well, I guess she's on the
who's right?
I don't know. And so she's like really into this. But it's just like this thing I do on the treadmill. But it really gets like, it feels
oh, you do it
so
on the treadmill.
On the tread.
I'm going to maybe I'll try that. I did a gnarly leg workout today, so I won't do that tomorrow.
It's run for four, walk for three.
Run for four, walk three, run four, and then
80%.
80%.
Not 70%.
Do not sprint.
And not 81.
80%. Questions, I'd be like, could I go
800 pace. Is it an 800 pace for 4 minutes?
Is that what your 4 minute time, is that what your 800 time was?
No.
Mine was like so high.
Mine was probably, no, but I am a good, I have a good. I've been running 7:20 miles lately.
That's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
I've been cruising. Start the next
microdose a mushroom before you do it.
Oh, really?
You will fly.
I like that.
That's cool. I have this problem where the micro turns to the macro, and then I remember I'm an alcoholic. And it's
whoopsies.
-3 days on Grindr.
Yeah. No, literally. It's like I'm like one split back.
Okay, then don't.
But like when I leave that Norwegian 4x4, like if I get a call, like when my dad will call me and I'll be like, I could cry. I'm like so very prone to emotion.
Okay.
There's something about like just working out where it's like, yes, that is when we should be doing therapy.
Yeah. That's well, all your like, walls are down because you're so physically exhausted. Yeah.
I'm ready to rip it open.
Yeah.
That's okay. So then let's maybe start this.
Yeah.
A workout into therapy. Work it out.
Yeah. Ooh, work it out.
You be the instructor. You and I. Yeah.
I'll run the kiosk. Yeah. Literally. We get sued. No, his is working it out. This is work it out.
W-E-R-K it out.
Working out. Okay, I think that's going to be the start of
this
something.
Is...
It used to be a writer's room, and now it's...
Now it's a small business creator. Now it's
a, yes.
I love this. An incubator.
Yes.
This is the incubator room.
What do they call those?
I think that...
No. What are, like when people are just getting together to get ideas going.
A think tank.
Think tank. This is a think tank.
This is a think tank now. That has now incubated a new idea.
Incubated think tank.
This is incredible. I'm not kidding. That's actually a fucking that would be hard. What would they be in pods? And you have to go to your
We'd have to figure out the infrastructure for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small classes. Yeah. 10 classes, 10 therapists.
Yeah.
But on reality TV, they're always getting those women drunk. And it's like, maybe if you had them run the Norwegian 4x4, that you'd have the same effect. And then they wouldn't sue you.
I love this. 4 minutes on, 3 off. I'm going to try this and I'll let you know.
It makes me feel, please don't get injured. It makes me feel so mentally free after. Like, I just feel, it feels really good.
I'm so excited.
Don't become addicted to it.
Are you talking to yourself?
Too late.
You're looking in that mirror right there?
Yeah.
You don't have to do it every day. Go to bed.
You don't have to do it every day.
You don't have to get up at three.
You don't have to get up at three.
I get so sweaty. I am dripping sweat on people around me.
So do I.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
It's important.
Maybe stop eating that ice cream.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That's 100% it.
You're just hitting aspartame.
If those people
out of the
are
system.
Upset about it, then they can go. They can get. They open up a private gym.
Yes.
Until then, you're in an Uber pool, and that's
yes.
it.
My Uber pool. My sweat pool.
Yeah,
my pool of sweat.
Full of Uber sweat. Yeah.
We need.
Oh my God.
Alex, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Before we wrap, do you want to tell the people where they can find you on socials?
Yeah, just at alex.cumin, K-U-M-I-N, like the spice, but with a K. Alex Cumin across all socials. You can find me at the Comedy Cellar most nights here in New York. Sign up for my punch up to get all the other stuff.
Hell yeah. Awesome. And we'll tag that in the show notes for this on YouTube, Spotify, wherever else you are listening from this from. And... we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.